Our love is society we live in today, if you're living for Jesus, if you're putting Him first in your life, you're going to experience some persecution, some hardships. It's coming. Paul says it like this in verse 4. We proudly tell God's other churches about your endurance and faithfulness in all the persecutions and hardships you are suffering. What's my fear? We saw this opening video, Andy Stanley talked about the fear of loss. The fear of loss. What happens when whoever gets elected? Am I going to lose this or am I going to lose that? What is it I fear? I fear that endurance and faithfulness are missing in our lives. That's what I fear here. That's what Paul is talking about. Endurance and faithfulness. I fear that's what's missing in our lives. Why? Because we're not connected to the Lord like we should be a lot of times, and we're not connected to each other. You say, well, Ed, what evidence is there of that we're not connected to the Lord or other people like we should be? Well, less and less people are coming to church, and less people are getting together to connect and join a group. What will this show? In the end, what will this show? It may show that we're not worthy of His kingdom. It may show that. Because nothing's flourishing or growing, therefore, we're not experiencing persecution. Right? Let's continue on verse 5 and 6. And God will use this persecution. In our day and age, it might look like being made fun of or mocking, whatever. You go to church or you go to that church. Why do you go there? Right? It might be subtle. And God will use this persecution to show His justice and to make you what? Worthy of His kingdom for which you are suffering. In His justice, He will pay back those who persecute you. He will pay back those who persecute you. Here's the thing. The closer you get to God, the closer you get in your walk in relationship with Jesus, the more you will experience persecution. The reason we don't experience more persecution is because we're not that close to God. Let me say that again. The reason we don't experience more persecution is because we're not that close to God. We're not where we need to be. What will happen when we stand up for what's right? When we as Christians stand up for what's right, what will happen? I.e., I'm not going to vote for someone who's killing babies. What will happen when we stand up for what's right? What is it we can expect? We're going to suffer. However, Paul says that He will pay back those who persecute us, right? He says He will pay back when? When is this going to happen? Because it seems things don't seem to be getting better, but worse. When is this going to happen? When the Lord Jesus appears again. When the Lord, do you know He's coming back? When He appears again, it will happen. Verse 7 and 8. And God will provide rest for you who are being persecuted, and also for us when the Lord Jesus appears from heaven. He will come. Jesus is coming back with His mighty angels in flaming fire, bringing judgment on those who don't know God and refuse to obey the good news of our Lord Jesus. Let's use our example here about someone who about the killing of babies, abortion. Let's use that. Someone who is a murderer doesn't know God. Someone who is a murderer doesn't know God. Whether they realize it or not, they are refusing to obey the good news. Well, what does this mean? It means there are a lot of people who aren't going to go to heaven. You don't believe me? Listen to what Jesus said, Matthew 7, 13 and 14. You, Jesus says, you can enter God's kingdom only through the narrow gate. For the highway to hell is what? It's broad. the great white throne judgment. That's a big word, right? That's a big phrase. At the great white throne judgment. What is that? Let's look here in the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw, John, I was talking here, and I saw a great white throne, and the one sitting on it. The earth and sky fled from his presence, but they found no place to hide. I saw the dead, both great and small, standing before God's throne. And the books were opened, including the book of life. And the dead were judged according to what? According to what they've done, as recorded in the books. The sea gave up its dead, and death and the grave gave up their dead. And all were judged according to their what? Deeds. Then death and the grave were thrown into the lake of fire. This lake of fire is the second death. And anyone whose name was not found recorded in the book of life was thrown into the lake of fire. For those of us who are Christians, this is very important, listen up. For those of us who are Christians, we're not judged according to what we've done. Praise the Lord, because I've done some pretty bad things in my life and still do things I shouldn't do. Right? So for those of us who are Christians, we're not judged according to what we've done. Why? Because we put our faith in Jesus. My faith certainly isn't in my ability to love others. Right? That's not where my faith is in my, because I can't do a good job of loving others like I should, unconditionally. Certainly not there. My faith is in Jesus. And because my faith is in Jesus and not in myself, I'll be the one praising him one day when he comes back. And if your faith is in Jesus, so will you. Paul says this in verse 10. When Jesus comes on that day, he will receive glory from his holy people, praise from all who believe. And this includes you. For you believe what we told you about him. I know you believe what you've been told, otherwise you wouldn't be here. Nevertheless, I'm praying for you. What am I praying for? Two things. First, you to live a life worthy of his call. I pray this for myself every day. Lord, help me to live a life worthy of your call. Help me to be the man of God you've called me to be. Second, for him to give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. Lord, give me the power to do what you've called me to do here in this church, in this community, in my life. Well, why am I praying for these things? Because this is what Paul prayed for the people of Thessalonica. This is what he prayed. Look here, verse 11. So we keep on praying for you, asking our God to what? Enable you to live a life worthy of his call. Yes, Lord, help me. Help me to be a Christian and act like one, right? May he give you the power to accomplish all the good things your faith prompts you to do. When you prompt me to do something, to talk to my friend at work or my co-worker or my brother or my sister or my mom or dad about Jesus, when you prompt me to do that, help me to do it, Lord Jesus, to follow through. Give me the power and the faith to accomplish what it is you've called me to do. I want to live a life worthy of his call. I can't do this on my own. However, I can with his help. He can help me love the people I have a hard time loving. I want to accomplish good things here at this church and in this community. I can't do this on my own. However, I can with his help. He will give me the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Paul says in Philippians 2:13, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. are some things in your life right now that you're just having a hard time letting go of these things. And because of this anger, bitterness, and resentment have set in, well, ask God to help you. Ask Him to help you with these things. Are you wanting to make a difference here at this church? Wanting God to use you in this community? Perhaps God has laid a dream or a vision on your heart. You know what? Maybe God's birthing something in you right now, a fire inside of you, a dream or a vision for something more, for your family, for this community. And in your heart, you know God wants you to move forward with this thing. However, you're afraid. You're afraid. You're afraid to move forward. You're not sure how people are going to react. Right? If you go ahead and do what you're planning to do, you're not sure how people are going to react. Well, ask God to help you, to give you the power to accomplish all the good things that He has placed in your heart to do. What happens when we do what we know the Lord is calling us to do? When we know in our heart, this is what God wants me to do. In my marriage, I know God wants me to do this. It's the right thing to do. In my job, I know God wants me to do this. It's the right thing for me to do. I know God wants me to do this in this town, in this community. It's the right thing to do. What happens when we do what we know He's calling us to do? He will be honored in our life. Isn't that what we want? We want Him to be honored in our life, to be lifted up. Verse 12. Then the name of our Lord Jesus will be honored because of the way you live. I hope that by the way I live, Jesus is honored in my life. And you will be honored along with Him. This is all made possible. How is all this made possible? Because of the grace. What is grace? It's free and undeserved. We don't get into heaven by being a good person. If we could, then there was no reason for Jesus to die on the cross. It's all made possible because of the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. How is all this made possible? It's only made possible by the grace of God in our Lord Jesus Christ. What do we know about grace? We know that His grace is sufficient. His grace is enough. When I come up here to preach, I always feel weak. Always. I feel inadequate, insecure. Who's going to listen? So what do I pray? I pray the words, when I am weak, then I am strong. Right now, Lord Jesus, I feel weak, but with You I am made strong. Why do I pray this? Because this is what Paul prayed. Do you remember what the Lord said to Paul? 2 Corinthians 12, verse 8. Paul said three different times, I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, this thing I was struggling with, and maybe right now you're struggling with something. There's something going on in your life and you're struggling with it, and you're begging the Lord to take it away. And He says, my grace is all you need. My power works best where? In weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses. So that what? So that the power of Christ can work through me. That people would see Jesus in me. That's what I pray every day. I pray, Lord, that I want to disappear and pray that people would see You in me and want to get to know You. So that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, hardships, and persecutions and troubles that I suffer for Christ. Why? For when I am weak, then I am strong. For when I am weak, then I am strong. If you're here today and you're feeling beat down, wore out, and weak, and tired, long week, maybe you had a long week. You're like, yeah, I don't even know how I got here this morning. If you're feeling that way, you're in the right place. Bible in a long time. And people just make me mad lately. So I don't know that I have been loving people. Well, you know what? God can help you. We can get a fresh start today. You can ask Jesus to be your Lord and Savior. He'll take out that stubborn, cold heart that is indifferent and hard, and he'll replace it with a new heart. And he'll give you the desire along with the power to do what pleases him so that you can make a difference in your school, on your team, and in this community. If that's something you want, we're going to pray here and give you the opportunity to ask Jesus to do that in your life. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, we